So moving on to our next topic. I know Tatiana is in the room. I don't see. Hang on just a second. Did I?
Amy Castro.
Yeah, I don't see her yet. The next thing that we're going to be talking about is smart aging, kind of a series that we want to get going through. And today we're going to talk about two items, actually both of which I've really gotten a lot of benefit from. One of them is HICAP, talking about all the craziness around health insurance, and the other one is 211. I know when Amy was involved, or maybe she still is, I don't know, but several years ago, she came and talked to our Greater LA chapter about all the things you can do with 211. Even if you don't have a computer or any high technology, a lot of information can be gained from 211. And she told us a lot of that stuff. So, Tatiana, can I turn it over to you? And hopefully Amy can join us soon. And what do you have for us today?
Hi. Yes. Good morning, everybody. And I don't know. I hope that everybody here on this in this convention is from obviously from California. But I am happy to be here and to be invited to speak. I represent basically two organizations, but they all have connections with HICAP, the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program. I am a training and educator for also California Health Advocates, and that is how you found me, because California Health Advocates is the association that many of the local HICAP programs in California belong to, and I give them Medicare training. So what is HICAP? Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program is the federal version of SHIP, State Health Insurance Assistance Program. So that this program is funded by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services through the Administration on Community Living. And the funds come from the federal government to California, the California Department of Aging, and then it is disseminated among the area agencies on aging. And what the purpose of the HICAP is, incidentally, California was the first state in the union that introduced this concept of Medicare counseling, and the federal government picked up the model. So we provide counseling to those who are on Medicare or soon to be on Medicare about their healthcare coverage options. And I'm sure that a lot of you on this call are either approaching Medicare age due to 65, or maybe they are receiving Social Security disability income and eligibility for Medicare becomes effective on the 25th month. So what do you do when you are approaching the Medicare world? You've got to call HICAP, because we are the unbiased source for information about how to get your healthcare coverage if you're not working, because some people still are working beyond their Medicare eligible age and they can delay Medicare enrollment. But all of those details would be shared with people calling us. And I have shared with your association some fact sheets that I hope that will be disseminated. But I want to give you the California Health Advocates website, and that is cahealthadvocates.org. And we have a plethora of information. You can sign up for our newsletters. Also, the California Department of Aging has a site on HICAP, but is not as friendly and as fully comprehensive as California Health Advocates. So I'm going to give you an example. Many people are afraid of Medicare. They don't know what to do. They get bombarded by mail from the insurance industry. And you see the ads on television. You see the mail that you get. And unfortunately, you will get also some unsolicited calls that sound like maybe they are valid. There's a lot of fraud happening in Medicare. But so the area agencies on aging in California host in each area, every county in the state of California has access, or every person living in every county has access to a local HICAP program to not only find out what the individual's options are, but learn also about when you can change your coverage. How does Medi-Cal work with Medicare? As you know, Medi-Cal is changing significantly, but once a person becomes eligible for Medicare, Medicare becomes primary to Medi-Cal. And so prescription drug benefits through the Part D as in David now falls on the shoulders of the Medicare side. So that information, the HICAP program can explain, do you want to be in regular Medicare, meaning also original Medicare? Do you want a Medicare supplement? Do you want to have a prescription drug plan? Or if you're covered by health insurance through either a former employer, like some are retired from the state, some are retired like I was, formerly an AT&T employee, and became eligible for Medicare, you know, everybody's situation is different. Because we're advocates, we say, don't listen to the insurance industry. Come to HICAP first, so that we can do a one-on-one counseling, either by phone or in person, depending on the HICAPs. And as I said, there is a HICAP program that represents every county in California. There is an 800 line, 800-434-0222. And when a person calls that number, it directs them to their local HICAP. Sometimes it's directed to the state Department of Aging because they don't know. For example, many people have cell phones and they move. So if they got a cell phone in Los Angeles and now they live in San Diego, it may direct them to the Los Angeles HICAP, but that's where, you know, you'd be able to get reconnected with your local area, because the local HICAP knows what plans, for example, Medicare Advantage plans, are available in that particular county. And we just say, okay, do not just fall for the cheapest plan, because cheap could be bad for you, because you may not have the right coverage for your medications. Medicare is changing all the time, and I train the HICAPs and update them on all of the new trends. We train California Health Advocates has a grant to educate individuals on how to prevent, detect, and report healthcare fraud. Because there is so much bad marketing, the federal government has instituted some more breaks, if you may, on marketing, but the bad guys are still going to do what they do. They will buy a list of Medicare numbers. They will buy lists from the credit bureaus of those that are approaching 65. So if you wonder, how is it that they know about me? It's because they have bought a lot of information either on the dark web or through credit bureaus and the experience and so forth to do their marketing. Now, I don't mean that the insurance companies are bad. I am talking about behavior of the insurance agents and other marketeers. So that's another thing that HICAP can help you. Because, for example, if a person responded to a telemarketer, or they called, they saw a TV ad that said, come and, you know, this is the plan, the best thing since sliced bread, and it offers a debit card, it offers this, this, and that. Well, who knows? If you enroll in that plan, you may not be able to access your local providers. So then the HICAP program can help unravel maybe the mess that an individual has gotten themselves into, and then try and unravel. And I'll give you an example of some of the cases that I have been involved with because it might resonate with you. I got a call on April 1st, as a matter of fact, from my local HICAP in Butte County, say, hey, Tatiana, can you help this client? There's a problem with CVS that they cannot access or get their diabetic test strips, because diabetic test strips and the little lancets and the unit to measure their blood sugars is covered by Medicare Part B. It's not a prescription. It's for benefit. It's part of their Part B medical benefit. So I said, fine, yes. So I call the client. She had already written down a whole chronology of her efforts in trying to find out why CVS cannot dispense her diabetic test strips. So I call CVS, and this client had already done all of their homework, called Medicare. No, you did not have a continuous glucose monitor that was paid for by Medicare. We don't know why that those diabetic test strips are being rejected for processing. So when I talked to the CVS person, you know, in their pharmacy, she processed a dummy test for the diabetic test strips. And yes, up came a code that says, now she's got a continuous glucose monitor. And I told her, I said, it is confirmed by Medicare that this person does not have a continuous glucose monitor device. And so she said, okay, let me call my CVS help desk and see whether we can unravel this. And I said, perfect. Please let me know. And this way I can communicate with the beneficiary. Well, 2-3 days come by and I don't hear back from CVS. And so I was about to call CVS, and then I saw an email from the client. Tatiana, thank you so much. CVS was able to fix their claim processing system, and now I can get my diabetic test strips. You see, so it takes somebody in the know with a little bit of initiative to know the back door function of how Medicare works. And that is what HICAP is all about. And so this is why, so we even have at HICAP insurance agents calling us to make sure that they have their understanding correctly, because there are certain times of the year that a person can buy a Medicare supplement, like a Plan G, for example, without underwriting. And that's something that I'm sure that a lot of people on this audience have certain pre-existing conditions. So when you're new to Medicare, you have 6 months to buy a Medicare supplement without consideration of your pre-existing conditions. Many people don't know that. The insurance industry and the insurance agent should know that, but the average person doesn't know that. And so, and then if they miss that 6 months, what do they do? Well, if they're perfectly healthy, they can still try and buy a Medicare supplement through their broker, but maybe they will go through underwriting and they would be rejected for pre-existing conditions. On the other hand, if a person has been on Kaiser all their life, I've had clients tell me, oh, I am a I was born into Kaiser, I married into Kaiser, and now I'm aging into Kaiser. Well, that Kaiser plan now is causing them a lot of problems. How do I get out of it? Well, there's certain times of the year that a person can. So HICAP knows all the ifs, ands, or buts of Medicare, how to change your coverage, how to appeal, and that's another thing too. We are the masters of appeals because a lot of people don't know that they have appeal rights. When I do presentations, I said, never accept no for an answer. And we empower Medicare beneficiaries and their caregivers to be self-advocates also. So that is why HICAP is so important. And if a person moves from one state to the other, there is a similar program in every state in the union. So I'm open now for questions. And if you wanted to know more, go on to California Health Advocates website and you've got my contact information, and so you can go through your channels to ask questions too. But Jeff or Steve, whoever is the moderator, I'm open for questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much. A great presentation, and I just everything you say about HICAP is so true. When I first came into the system and got on Medicare, it was just a mirage. A mirage, that's not the right word. Anyway, it was I was unable to understand it. So I'm so glad you guys are around, and because I had a very, very good experience. Had both a phone appointment and an in-person at two different times, and it was great. Andrew, do we have any raised hands for questions?
We do not at the moment. Folks, get those hands up. This is a really important issue and a good opportunity to speak with someone who's very knowledgeable. So if you have questions, please raise your hands.
And while people are thinking, I just want to add, Medicare, regular Medicare, does not cover vision or dental. Many health plans, Medicare Advantage plans, do offer that too. So, yes. Good. There's a hand up.
John Ross has his hand raised.
Okay, I have a question. Can you repeat what you said about having 6 months to buy a supplement without having to worry about pre-existing conditions?
Yes, thank you for that question. And that is something that I'm glad to repeat. When a person gets Medicare, they get a Medicare card. And there's an effective date on that card. Let's say that your 65th birthday month is May, anytime during May. So you have 6 months from the effective date of Part B to get a Medicare supplement, whichever supplementary plan you would like, because in California, there are about 20 different companies that sell Medicare supplements. And the insurance agent with whom you may be dealing with knows that you have 6 months to enroll in a Medicare supplement, and they cannot ask any questions about your pre-existing conditions except for one small condition. If you come into Medicare without any health insurance, let's say a person never had covered California or never was covered by an employer plan, basically, the insurance companies could put a waiting period for up to 3 to 6 months to cover that specific condition before they start paying the claims for that condition. But if you were fully insured prior to coming into Medicare regardless of how, what type of insurance you had, then they cannot put a waiting period on covering your, because Medicare is an 80-20 plan. Medicare pays their 80% after the Part B deductible, and that 20% could be covered by, let's say, a G plan. So they cannot ask health questions. That is at age 65. Now, if you are receiving Social Security disability income before age 65 and you become eligible for Medicare on the 25th month, also, as long as you do not have end-stage renal disease, meaning kidney failure, they also, they meaning the insurance companies, cannot underwrite you, cannot consider your pre-existing conditions. If you are SSDI, not SSI, SSDI, and get Medicare before age 65, and you do have end-stage renal disease, the insurance companies will underwrite you, and they will most likely reject that application for covering that 20%. However, the Medicare Advantage plans, the Medicare plans that cover Part A and Part B and often the Part D, and they're also known as Part C plans, they don't consider pre-existing conditions. So if you miss that six-month window, then you can still try and apply, but they will ask health questions. And if it's a, every company has different underwriting criteria, meaning different questions that they ask. And that's why we suggest don't go to an exclusive Blue Shield or Blue Cross agent. Go to a broker that represents many companies because they know the underwriting criteria for all of these companies. Hope I answered your question.
Yeah, thank you. That's a lot to unpack, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, who we got next?
Okay, next we have Artist Basin.
Okay, I do not live in California anymore. So do you know what the website would be for the national database? I live in Colorado.
Oh, in Colorado? Okay. So are you on Medicare now?
Yes.
Okay. On the, and do you get that Medicare and You handbook?
Yes.
Okay. On the back page, on the back cover, is your local SHIP phone number.
Yeah.
And then also the it's called the SHIP SHIPTA.org. You can get the phone number for your state's SHIP.
Okay, because I've noticed my Blue Cross Blue Shield has been going up every year. And it's now it's, you know, like $270 a month.
Okay. So, and let me tell you about that, too. And so is it a supplement plan?
Yes.
And which kind of supplement is it? What lettered plan?
Oh, F. Which they don't make anymore. They don't do it.
Correct. So the F plan nationally was frozen in 2020. And let me explain to you for those that are you know, our knowledge junkies, and I always, you know, share my brain with people. Insurance is based on how many people are enrolled in that plan. The premiums is based on how many are enrolled in that plan within that company and also on the claims. So the, because they cannot sell new F plans, the population base that they can spread their losses starts shrinking, and consequently the premiums go up. So you might want to talk to your broker and find out what a G plan would cost you And normally you can downgrade your coverage, because going from an F to a G means that now you would be responsible for the Part B deductible. This year it's $240. But the difference in the premium between the F and the G on an annual basis far exceeds the cost of that $240 deductible. So you would be saving a ton of money.
Now, would it be a problem if you have existing conditions?
No, usually not. Usually downgrading, and this is where the Colorado SHIP would know the underwriting criteria for changing plans. So, for example, if a person moves to another state, that gives you the right to change your coverage. If you move within the state, it gives you the right to change your coverage. But usually going down in coverage, meaning that now you would be responsible for that Part B deductible, may not require underwriting. And every state has the ability to improve on the federal guarantee right. So in California, it's very liberal, and we've enhanced the guarantee right. So, for example, we have what is called the birthday rule. 60 days following your birthday, you can change plans and change companies as long as you do not upgrade. So if you go from an L to a G, they would underwrite you. But if you go from a G to a G or a G to an L plan, they would not. So check with your local SHIP, and they would know specifically what the underwriting criteria would be for downgrading, if any, to a G. But you said that the company is normally it's Blue Cross or Blue Shield. So on your card, if it says Blue Cross, Blue Shield, that must be just unique to Colorado, because in California, there is no such thing as Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Well, it's Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I purchased it when I lived in Iowa.
Oh.
Before I moved to California.
Okay.
And then moved to Colorado.
Yes. So Medicare supplements are portable, but this is where you had the opportunity to make changes because you moved without consideration of your pre-existing conditions. So how long ago did you move to Colorado?
It'll be just 6 months.
Yeah, I would definitely suggest you, first of all, contact your Blue Cross plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and ask them what a G plan would cost. Don't say that you want to change it, because there are many companies that sell a G plan. And then you contact your Colorado SHIP and find out what the underwriting criteria is to downgrade, if any, to a G plan. Because you will not find another F plan at a cheaper rate.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Tatiana, can you explain to us the difference between Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement?
Yes.
Keeping those words back and forth.
Right. Okay, good. Within the Medicare world, a person can opt to have their entire coverage taken care of by a health plan, meaning their hospital Part A, their medical Part B, and their prescription Part D, all in one company, and that is called a Medicare Advantage plan. So instead of billing Medicare for the claims, the providers bill the company for all of the healthcare services. And how does that happen? Because we taxpayers are giving, through the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a ton of money to these Medicare Advantage plans to cover all of your Medicare Part A, Part B, and in many cases, Part D, the prescription drugs, all into one company. And Kaiser's an example. Okay, but within a Medicare Advantage plan, you have different types of Medicare Advantage plans. You have HMOs, Health Maintenance Organization. You have a PPO, a Preferred Provider Organization. And in some states, they have the private fee-for-service plans. And in other states, they may have a Medicare savings type of a plan. So that's why it's important that they check with their local SHIP. On the other hand, if you don't want to be limited to a network of providers, because that's another thing about Medicare Advantage plans, you are limited to a network of providers if you are in an HMO, and there are a variety of HMOs, or if you are in a PPO, you have one level of copay if you're in network and another level of copay if you're out of network. But you're always beholden to that company. Medicare won't pay any claims unless it's hospice in some cases. In original Medicare, you have the freedom of going any provider in the United States without pre-approvals. Yes, there may have to be some courtesy referrals and so forth. And now the Medicare, and that's called original Medicare, where let's say a hospital will bill Medicare directly for inpatient services under Part A or outpatient services in Part B. Doctors would submit the claim to Part B and Medicare would pay that provider directly. So there are two different payment systems and two different types of accessing providers. And that's why it's so important to know that Medicare beneficiaries have choices of how to get their healthcare coverage. If a person doesn't mind being in a network and being constrained to pre-approvals and prior authorizations, and maybe they want extra coverage like vision and dental, yes, you could join a Medicare Advantage plan. Whereas in original Medicare, if you wanted vision and dental, you would have to get a rider plan for that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Andrea is our next hand.
Oh. This is Kastner. Thank you. My husband and I have a senior advantage plan with Kaiser.
Okay.
And my question doesn't really relate to that specifically. We also have long-term care insurance that we purchased through the federal government when we were employees.
Uh-huh.
My husband is in a memory care facility, and he's been in a facility for a little over 3 years.
Okay.
And the long-term care insurance has paid out very generously for his coverage.
Great.
However, the long-term care will probably expire. We'll use the full benefit for him in 2 years. And so I'm wondering, after 2 years, will payments revert to my savings, or would he be eligible for Medi-Cal?
Okay, that's a very good question. And in California, we do have trained counselors that will be able to analyze your policy to the degree that you may not know how to.
Okay.
And so if you live in California?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yes. And you're very fortunate that you were able to get a long-term care insurance policy, because they're not really selling them anymore. There may be only one or two companies, and try and go through underwriting, you know. Oh my gosh. So yeah. Definitely, I have analyzed policies also, because I, and incidentally, in California, there are several levels of certification within the HICAP program. And so it requires additional training. And so, yes, the Every HICAP should have at least one counselor that has been certified and trained to analyze long-term care insurance policies. And they can read between the lines on the intent, because often the language in that policy is legalese, mm-hmm. and you have to go into the intent of that policy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I keep getting, you know, periodic, whenever I have a payment for him, I get a letter saying you've used so much of your benefit and you yes. have so much remaining.
Right.
And so, yeah, so when I get, I should contact someone from ICAP to yes. look at the policy.
Correct. And which county do you live in?
Alameda County.
Oh, yes. I know the Alameda HICAP very well. They are excellent. As a matter of fact, their program manager was on my interview board for the... Oh. she's one of the original HICAP managers there. So I know her program is very good.
Okay. Okay. Assuming, though, that the plan does run out of money... Yeah.
Then yes. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up again. Yes. If that policy has used up all of its benefits or you've used up all of the benefits, eligibility for Medi-Cal for long-term care has improved significantly in California because now they don't, meaning the state, Medi-Cal does not count your assets.
Okay.
Or eligibility. But it is still income based and you may have a share of cost. Now, having said that, generally speaking, Medi-Cal does not cover assisted living. However, there are in some counties, because anybody who is eligible for Medi-Cal without a share of cost, meaning without a deductible, and that deductible, a monthly share of cost, is based on how much over income eligibility you are. And if you want to, I'm just looking here for my cheat sheet on the eligibility criteria. Okay, so, and I'll just give you just general numbers, okay?
Sure.
Okay, if a person is able to, just for basic Medi-Cal, and they would assess both husband and wife, gross income cannot exceed $2,351 for the couple. Now, Medi-Cal for long-term care is different. So if there is an assisted living waiver locality, or if that particular assisted living facility is one of those that are in the assisted living waiver program of Medi-Cal, the nursing home spouse can keep about $35 and the at-home spouse can keep $3,854. Yeah, gross income.
I see.
Okay, but that is something for you would have to apply through the county for that Medi-Cal for long-term care. So definitely, if you know how long you've got left on that long-term care policy, it's to start,
because it's from all of us. So that kind of,
there's somebody talking.
Guys, if you are on, we have a couple of people waiting to speak. If you're unmuted, please, please be aware that we can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right. Anyway, so definitely, yes, the HICAP counselor in Alameda County can help you kind of go through the weeds of that too. But this is a general, now we're talking about long-term care planning. Please, right. Sure. Please make sure that everybody has a durable power of attorney for healthcare, meaning an advance directive. And I highly encourage that you have a will. And for those that have some forms of assets, to also get a trust. And just don't go to any trust attorney. Go to a certified elder law attorney. And sometimes your local high cap may have a list, or you can go to the California bar and find out. Okay.
Okay. Who's our next hand?
Okay. I'm going to go let Rob go ahead. Rob, I'm sorry. You're on the panelist side. I didn't see you. We have a couple of hands.
No problem.
Go ahead.
Sure. Tatiana, you piqued my curiosity earlier when you mentioned about people who've been with Kaiser sort of for a lifetime. That's my situation. And when I stopped working, I still had my Kaiser coverage, and I got the, I'm pretty sure it's called the Kaiser Senior Advantage.
Correct.
$86 a month or so, and it includes vision and dental, a supplement.
Yeah.
And what did you mean by that? What are they having some problems?
Gosh, depending on where you are in California, I've had horrible, horrible stories of waiting months for a referral or poor care coordination, especially for people who have who are treated for behavioral or mental health conditions. Mm-hmm. And we say that you have the right, anybody that's in a Medicare Advantage plan, to file a complaint, whether it be a complaint about the manner of responsiveness or the quality of care. Start off with a company, but then you can call 1-800-MEDICARE and file complaints against the company. Many people are so used to going to Kaiser that they go along with those lumps, you know, the bumps in the road.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it is for people who have been lifetime members. You would, getting out of Kaiser, you're going to have to try and find new providers that have open practice. And so if you want to, you know, I've had people die on me because they did not want to get out of their Kaiser plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Good to hear. And I may have to think of a new strategy here later on this year.
Well, yeah, during open enrollment, October 15th through December 7th is your opportunity.
Okay, thanks, Tatiana.
You're welcome, Rob.
Okay, and who's our next question?
Okay, we have a hand, area code 510.
Hi, Steve Nettleson. Tatiana, thank you very much for this interesting proposal. I wanted to just probe briefly the possible role of eye care advocacy with respect to other kinds of decisions that Medicare might make. For example, does eye care have any potential advocacy role in a decision, let's say, to deny a benefit not based on ab initio ineligibility, but based, for example, upon a so-called individualized decision of lack of medical necessity?
Oh, okay. Because Medicare is based on medical necessity, I've had situations where maybe they are patients of a university hospital, and the university hospital feels that a specific treatment for a condition that was meant for another condition may help that person. So yes, there is a right within the Medicare system for the individual to say, I want to get this service, but the provider has to give you a form called the Advance Beneficiary Notice that allows you, and it informs the provider, that you are willing to take that financial risk if Medicare doesn't pay. And what it's called, it's a demand bill, because the only way in original Medicare that you can appeal a denial is if they submit the claim to Medicare. Did I answer your question?
Partly, yes. In fact, that's exactly why people have been unable to get assistive technology, because they've been unable to front the upfront costs in many cases.
Oh,
even though they
yes.
felt that under the law they might have succeeded. But my question was slightly of a different direction, namely, does
in the case of advocacy around such issues, does ICANN have a role?
You know, we usually do it through the association that represents that that assisted living technology, because there are many adaptive devices that Medicare may cover. But for example, for those that are visually impaired, there are many devices, obviously, that allow a person to read and to view TV and so forth. That is not related to medical necessity. But I will give you another example. Many years ago, I had a client who had, I don't recall whether it was cerebral palsy or some other condition that required them to be a wheelchair user. And the only way that that person could get out of their home was with ramps. And ramps to get in and out of their house or in and out of their van. Medicare doesn't cover that, and neither would a Medicare Advantage plan cover that. So I contacted a disability rights organization in San Francisco just to get a sense for if you can prove that this person's medical situation will not deteriorate if you were able to get, and this person lived on the second or third story in an apartment building in San Francisco. They were able, meaning this advocacy, not passages, not HICAP, but because through California Health Advocates, I was able also to get in touch. And they said, yeah, we were able to show to Medicare that otherwise this person would be totally a prisoner of their apartment because they wouldn't be able to have access to doctors. And it happened to be a Medicare Advantage plan. And they paid for this particular elevator, whether it was on the stairs or whatever, to be able to, for that individual, would be able to go out. In another situation, these ramps in and out of the van or the house, you have to prove that you would save the system, meaning Medicare, money with this particular assisted device. So as far as advocacy, you know, California Health Advocates supported the licensure of the LCSW's licensed clinical social workers. Up to last year, they were not allowed to submit claims to Medicare for counseling. Through national advocacy and their association, we supported their efforts to get that designation to be an accepted, billable condition by that discipline, the LCSW.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answer and for your presentation.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. Okay, Andrea, who's our next hand?
Okay, we have one more hand, and that is Roger Peterson.
I just wanted to, I think it's kind of ironic. While I was listening to this discussion, my phone rang, and it was some guy saying, we want to send you your new Medicare card.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes. That is.
And I've been getting dozens of these calls. I don't know what I did to deserve it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's a random because they're doing it on a random basis. But Medicare is not sending out new plastic cards, period. And if you're able to capture that phone number, please call our senior Medicare patrol project, and I've got to give you that phone number. Well, the phone number is on our website. I'm sorry, I try and keep as much needed information in my brain, but sometimes it doesn't. If you go on the CA Health Advocates, if you go onto the CA Health Advocates website and Or you,
hey, Margie, I don't have it.
Well, that's
Jeff. You're unmuted.
I'm sorry. Please.
Yeah. So I'm also going to give you California Health Advocates phone number, and they will also give you the Senior Medicare Patrol phone number, which is in that office too. It's 916-465-8104. Because of our grant, with Senior Medicare Patrol, we are reporting all of these cases to the federal government.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Jeff, you're up.
Great presentation. Thank you so much, Tatiana. I don't want a complete answer to this question. I really want to know whether this situation is something that HICAP can help me with.
Sure.
My wife is also blind, and I'm not quite sure when she will become eligible for Medicare because she doesn't have enough work quarters, but she currently gets her health care through my state employment retirement, which I am.
Okay.
And that's where my Medicare comes from. So my question is, a situation like that that's sort of complicated, is that something that HICAP can, you know, figure all out for us?
Yes.
Or do I need to go through the state?
No. Okay. So number one, Medicare eligibility is based on your work quarters or your spouse's work quarters. So Social Security is the enrollment agency for Medicare. And they can determine at age 65 her Medicare eligibility based on your work history.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great, because I'll just keep her coverage under my state employment until she obviously turns Medicare eligible. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty, great. Do we have any more hands?
We do not have any hands at the moment, Steve.
Okay. Tatiana, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate you spending your Saturday morning with us here. A lot of great information, and you know, even for folks outside of California listening on ACB Media, I think giving us all some great ideas to look for more information. And we'll definitely get the fact sheet distributed to our members, and I thank you for that. And, you know, thanks for everything that HICAP does. Like I say, they really, you know, I was a little bit freaked out, I guess would be the best way to put it, when I became Medicare eligible due to being on SSDI and wasn't sure where to go. And these guys, you know, lots of good facts and basically common folks. And you guys are great. So thank you. And thanks for coming to present to us today.
Oh, Steve, you're welcome. And let me just add to that. If you have local chapters that you would like to engage California Health Advocates to present, all you have to do is contact our office, and especially on the Senior Medicare Patrol, because we're really doing a lot of outreach on fraud avoidance. And so they can call us, and on our website, there is a section to request a presentation.
Steve, we have a couple of more hands that just came up.
Okay.
Can you stay with us just a few more minutes? I've got a commitment around 11-ish or so. So
you're fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Quick question from 510.
Dirk Neihardt from Berkeley. Thanks so much. You're showing other people are saying thank you. My question is, where do we say thank you to Medicare providers? We learned today how we can complain, but where do we say thank you?
Oh, you know what? That is a very, you know, different question. Usually, medical providers belong to a medical group. So if you have a doctor, for example, that is part of, I don't know, Sutter Health or Kaiser Health or whatever, you can submit a, you know, kudos. 1-800-MEDICARE Medicare is doing an ongoing, and it's doing more now, on assessing quality of care of providers, because they all have measurements now that Medicare is very focused on, meaning the federal government, on quality of care. And so there are doctors are now grouping together with accountable care organizations, and they're getting more money from Medicare to give you good coordination of care. But to say thank you to your doctor, you know, you can write a letter to that doctor's office because they love to hear from their patients too, and maybe their medical group.
Okay, great. And we'll make this our last question. Who's our last hand?
David, go ahead.
Okay, this is David Mandel. And Tatiana, thank you so much for your wonderful presentation.
Oh, thank you.
It's one of the best high-cap presentations I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
I belong to the California Alliance for Retired Americans, or CARA. Yes. I don't know if you've heard of us.
Yes, I have.
But I was wondering, if California Health Advocates is taking a position with regard to single payer health care or guaranteed universal health care.
Yeah. No, we are all about affordable and comprehensive coverage, but we are not taking that position because it's very political. because we're supporting the high caps, we just can't take that position. We cannot take a position. We are just about accessibility and affordability. And that's why we're very connected, with other partners like the Center for Medicare Advocacy, the Medicare Rights Center, the National Council on Aging. As a matter of fact, it would be the larger organizations that would.
Right.
Yeah, we're just too small for
that. Have you been concerned at all with ACO REACH and the effort to try to? There are many, many people who have been put into Medicare Advantage plans without their consent, even if they wanted traditional Medicare, things like that. Have you been involved with that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that usually happens because they responded to a telemarketing call.
Right.
They should be calling our senior Medicare patrol or the local HICAP, because if somebody has been in a plan, unfortunately, for over a year, it's pretty difficult to make a case. But Medicare now has instituted some more special election periods. Call the HICAP if anybody recently succumbed to that, or our California Health Advocates Senior Medicare Patrol.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Tatiana, thank you so much. This has been an awesome presentation. Of course, the recording will be up on our website in a bit. I think it's going to be a great resource for folks. And thank you so much for, as I said, spending the time with us here today. A lot of good information. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and enjoy the rest of your conference. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right.